Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week, another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. You know what time it is. It's that time of the preseason where we start heating up. We got camp fully in swing. The season is 2 weeks away. Big matchup down in Atlanta. My guy, Colby Crawford, had him on a year or so ago, and that dude has been putting in work the whole time. Like, the rise of this man has been incredible, and I'm proud of him. And you know, he's been at camp, he's been getting all the details he can get, he's been sharing it with the people. So I had to bring him on Tales from the Terror Dome to check in with everybody. How you doing?
I'm great, Dan. I really appreciate that intro. But yeah, it's been a bunch of fun, just living, laughing, loving, getting to do a little bit of everything. But yeah, it's good being back on with you.
Yeah, dude. So like, what have you been like? I don't know how much off season you have in the scoop game, but like, what have you been up to, man?
Shoot, where to start? From, I guess, when school ended. So turned around from the Metallica concert, had my last, or wrapped up the final the next day, came home for my sister's birthday. And yeah, it's just kind of been a magic carpet ride from there. I was at a camp, I think, in Baltimore, and then it was camp season in Virginia Tech, official visit season. And then you kind of have some downtime. And, you know, of course, me, I'm going to go find a beach break somewhere on the East Coast to go surf. So I was doing that. And then you had transfer portal and high school recruiting, and it never stopped. So especially this month of August, I feel like it's been hectic between DC and back here in the 757 and the Blacksburg. And now after we hop off of this, I'm going to go get one last swell down on the Outer Banks, but it's been a bunch of fun. And yeah, looking forward to get back fully up in Blacksburg, because that means college football is right around the corner. And there's nothing really like it. Like, I went to the Richmond race last night in Richmond, and like, that's a spectacle. I love some good racing, but like, when those are stories I'll be able to tell for the rest of my life. Just all these venues, these events, like, that's what it's all about. Just, you gotta love it. Saturdays in the fall.
Yeah, man. I got invited to the Richmond race last night. I've never been, but I went.
Highly recommend.
Impromptu. My mom called me. My birthday is always at the end of August, the 28th.
Yeah.
And, but we never like she's going to be in like Pigeon Forge, I think.
Oh yeah.
And she's mainly in Florida anyway, but like, she'll be in Pigeon Forge for like with her husband on like the family trip with them. And I'll be in Atlanta for the kickoff.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, I'm gonna be in Chicago the week of the, you know, this past week. And she was like, are the Cubs in town? Because she knows I'm a lifelong Cubs guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, yeah, they come back on Friday the 15th. They have a 1:20 Central Time game at Wrigley. And she was like, if you get your flight out here and your hotel, I'll take us to the game and get your flight back. Brother, I have never hit reserve so fast on anything in my life. But yeah, we lost. I haven't seen the Cubs lose in person in like 10 years. I'm like 17-2 in my lifetime now watching the Cubs play, no matter how bad they've been or how good they've been. But on the flip side, I'm a Blackhawks fan, and they've been amazing, and I've never, ever seen them win. I've only ever seen them get smoked by the Caps, so.
I was about to say, I love live events, but it seems every time either I'm at a Nationals game or a race like last night, my guy's always wrecking out. It's always something like that, but it won't stop me, because I know one of these days you keep chipping away, you'll get one time. Just got to keep spending more money.
Are you a Chase Elliott guy?
I am a Chase. How'd you know I was a Chase Elliott guy? Oh, well, because last night he wrecked out.
My boy Steven is a big Chase Elliott guy, and he, like, that's his guy too, and he mentioned it to me. That's the only reason I know.
Yeah, no, I'm a Chase guy. Every time I've seen him, it's just been some misfortune. But you know what? It ain't going to stop me from going back. So,
from what I understand, races are pretty affordable to attend.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. But
so, kind of like baseball, unless you're like we went to Wrigley and it's always sold out. So like, we had to do resale, which was expensive, but that's fine. There was also the air show in Chicago, and it was like, I got burnt. Unfortunately, I thought I had gotten enough sun this summer to not, but I sweated it out before we even went into Wrigley, like my sunscreen. So I just welcomed whatever came at that point. But there is an air show in Chicago. So there, between like the fourth and seventh innings, there was like eight flyovers Wrigley, like Blue Angels, like all these fighter jets, just like it went viral on the internet. Like it was like it like shook. Like the dude in front of me dropped his beer during the seventh inning stretch one because we just didn't see it coming. But overall, always a great time in Chicago. The food is amazing. I was ready. I mean, I came back. Now I'm trying to ready to lock in on this football stuff. You know, I got my beach. I have my beach vibes already. I've been in the pool. Like, I'm just ready to tailgate again. And
there we go.
After it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, I guess, what have been your early overall views of the camp stuff that you've been able to see so far as far as the – because it's just – how many years have you been at camp now? Is this your second or third?
At fall camp, I started in the spring of 23. So, I guess it'd be my third now. So, fall 23, fall 24, now fall 25. So, I think it's my going into my third camp now.
What would you say has been, like, the biggest difference that you've been able to witness from this camp from either last year and the year before?
That's actually a really good question that you framed it like that. Honestly, I think the biggest thing from those previous 2 years under Prize tutelage, I think these new coordinators and the trickle down to all the position coaches, how much, even just in the early periods that we get to see as media when they roll us out there, is how much more vocal and hands-on coaching is going on at the position level. When you go around to your individual circuit drills as you start off the periods, a lot of the times it sort of felt like in those early indie periods, it was a lot of not going through the motions, but it was just, okay, we've done this 8 times in a row now. You know exactly what we're going to do. We're going to try and do ball security here, and we're going to do tackling right here. And your footwork might be a bad rep on this one, but whatever. We won't count as an MA until we get into team periods or whatever. But it seems like there's been a much, much bigger emphasis on all the little things. I honestly think that's probably trickled down from the new coordinator hires. When you hear things about Cephas, like I think a lot still to be seen when they play that first game for scheme, and so much is going to be figured out on August 31st. But one thing that I don't think will be left on the table is his ability to teach. You talk to everyone, and that's just a resounding thing, is that he loves to teach. The way he's able to give complex information and pass it down the chain of command. And I think you see that from the position coaches at all those individual stations. So I think that's one of the biggest changes that I've seen just in the past couple of years, is how vocal and hands-on all the coaches are, not just the coordinators, but even Coach Pry. Like, I don't think I've seen Brent Pry be as, I mean, obviously you have the head coach going around, and different head coaches do it different ways. I know Kirby Smart down at Georgia is the one blowing the whistle. He doesn't even have like a horn guy. He's the one who sends them from different periods to periods. But even seeing Pry be a lot more hands-on at different position groups, jumping in the mix, giving his technique and idea to things. So I think that's been a pretty welcome surprise, especially coming off of last year where, I mean, the margin is that razor thin when you're talking about these football games. So just the attention to detail, specifically on footwork and just small drills to start practice that we're getting to see, I think that's been a nice welcome change. Now, will it contribute? And I feel like I've said this on quite a few shows. Will that contribute to a close win? Will that contribute to – I don't know. But I don't think it can hurt. So I think that's where I'm at on it.
Well, from what your guy Evan said – on 247, that it seems that VT Scoop, that it seems that they've changed some things up where Pry has a little more decision making, or has kept his decision making with the defense and collaborating with Cephas, whereas on offense, it's strictly like a Monty and Chris operation as far as like situational decisions and like 2 minute. And calling timeouts, whereas Pry will still obviously have the ultimate veto as the head guy, but it seems like he'll be doing less on that front and been able to oversee everything overall more so than normal.
Yeah, and like I said, I think after a year like that, there was definitely – they were going to go back and reflect and review and see what they could have done differently. I think they've made some targeted changes with who they're going to have up in the box, who's going to have – the game book for analytics. And obviously that was a massive point of emphasis. Like they've heard the noise, obviously the 1-12 record, everyone's saying just a lot of things at the end of the Miami game, they're at Syracuse. You look to Duke, you look at just a lot of those games where it's like, this there, they've obviously heard it and they've tried to make their necessary changes. Now I'm not to say that those changes will be effective in the upcoming year, but they've looked at it and they've devised a plan, with the new coordinators and such to try and be more flexible, but also ready in those late game situations. And speaking to that, I think the NFL experience with Sam Seifkiss is going to be extremely valuable in that regard. Was able to go to the coach's clinic or chalk talk, whatever, here in the 757, heard him talk about that. And I want to say nearly half of his presentation to these high school coaches was really leaning on that situational football package. I saw a clip today. I think the NFL posted it. It was a preseason game, and they had, Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell on mic'd up at the time, and they ran a play. And before it even happened, he was mad because he knew it was going to get called back because of, shift in the formation. It's just, that attention to detail. And I know Seifkiss is a relatively young head coach, but for him to be just so locked in on those minute things, even in his intro press conference, he called back to a play at Wofford that he saw just in a early fall camp practice. And then he brought back up on the team board in meetings later that day and was like, hey, this small play might not be the end of the world, but end up costing us a game here. So just really those attention to detail on penalties, obviously, but especially those late game packages, they have specific packages for, and this isn't rare, but to install this specific packages for certain times on the clock, and there's only a certain amount of plays in that time on the clock. It's just, I think it's a lot more thorough, so you can close out those games at the end of half quarters and games where it's obviously just, everyone wants to talk about the middle eight, but those final 2 minutes can also be pretty critical.
Well, I mean, if you look at our record, if you take away the last 2 minutes, it was significantly better than
exactly.
Astronomically better, actually.
And I see his reference, though. I mean, he's watched it, and he went back and watched it, and I think he's that was a big reason. I think that stood out to Pry in the interview process and everything, was that he was how can we finish better? Will they finish better this year? I'm not sure, but I think they've made a real, real hard effort at that.
Right. I agree. At this point, the games have to be played and you have to do it, but you can still set yourself up better beforehand. 100%. And they seem to be doing that from everything I've heard. And
I'm giving everyone all the hopium. It's August 17th. Yeah. We got however many days.
Well, it has seemed a couple weeks ago it was kind of dead, as far as the juice online and the momentum. Yeah. And then it was you start seeing what these coaches are saying put into action, and it does build up some sense of, we don't know what we're going to see, but we seem better prepared for it than past years. And it's kind of Seifkiss, I've said it too, coming from the NFL, the packages they have to prepare for are way more vast and plentiful than the packages they're probably going to see in college. And you still have to prepare and be meticulous, but that man seems like a psychopath in the way that he's so calm, but yet so intense and intentional about all the meticulous, intricate things that he has to do versus the offense. So I'm pretty confident in his putting his best foot forward. I don't know how it's going to look, but I think the kids will be.
Good thing you'll be down there. Knowledge will be there.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to see it firsthand. Lenore Sellers, the team getting all the hype versus a team that coaches media is kind of claimed to be sort of dead in the water. It's almost like a reverse Vanderbilt situation from last year, where the team's coming in with all the steam. Lenore Sellers is on all these lists. Dylan Stewart's a ball player. We already know that. Nick Harbor, track star, fast wide receiver. Luckily, Dante Lovett knows that kid well. And hopefully we got Lovett some cleats. Spikes are gonna work this time. Not like that Duke game, but
I was about to say, were you at that Duke game?
No, but I watched it.
Man, what an odd night. Man,
I was at the Vanderbilt game.
Games at the end of last year.
I was at the Vanderbilt game and I saw the failure to adjust, and they just smoked, Stowers and all those dudes just kind of smoked us in the flats. And then we were terrible in the flats last year. The ability to not adjust to covering the flat. I can't remember what game it was last year, but the tight end solely beat us.
Talking about Rutgers?
Yes, Rutgers. It was the Rutgers game. Just absolute malpractice to not adjust to that, to be honest. And
we'll see.
I've I've been seeing like online, like it's starting to circulate into my circle. Is like I guess Mansoor is going to start at LSU, or he's looking to start at LSU.
Yeah.
And people are just like pulling up clips of him from last year, and they're just hammering that kid. And
I'm like,
damn. That, I hope Delane's amazing. Yeah, I hope Delane is amazing for LSU. I kind of wish he would have gone to the league and like let us get that cred, you know. But yeah. I mean, I didn't plan on him being here this year anyway. So the corner room, I guess, is a big question mark now. I mean, outside
if you
want to
talk about that, if you want to talk about that DB room, I think maybe someone I would have arguably given close to that MVP of spring or was building for that. I think Kamari Copeland was probably going to run away with it anyway. But someone else who was really, really up in contention. And if you go back on the VT Scoop message board, Doug Bowman always gave me a hard time. But Josh Clark, I thought he was having an amazing spring and someone who was arguably, if not already, going to be penciled in to play on that outside at corner. Just a really dynamic guy, can line up against pretty much any type of receiver. And then obviously goes down with the knee injury. You're going to miss the whole year, it looks like. Really a shame. And then you have to go. And now, granted, you knew you had true freshman guys coming in, so you sort of counted for that. And then you go out, you get Steve Kiss. Coach Jones goes out and handpicks Caleb Brown from Hawaii out of the portal. So you backfill there a little bit. You know, you had Isaiah Brown Murray as well, who's dynamic. He can play inside of the nickel. He's playing a lot of corner right now, too. So it'll be interesting to see how they let that play out. But yeah, like you said, you got Dante and Thomas Williams. I think people overlook Thomas Williams. He's been in the program now for a little while, but someone who's had a really great summer. I mean, we were going out there for camp circuit stuff, and he was in a polo and looking like he was about to go out to dinner on like a Sunday night. And he was out there getting work on the Monarch with Jamari Deloge. Marius was coming back off a little injury, and those guys were out there getting extra work on the Monarch just because in the middle of the summer. So you look at those guys. I think it's just stuff like that where it's a little overlooked, but those guys have been working hard. Yeah. And I think that cornerback room will be pretty good overall. You got the true freshman guys. Like I mentioned, JoJo Krim, Jamari Deloach, Knowledge Harrell working at the nickel, working outside. Maybe a little dinged up, but I think he'll be back. All three of those guys are solid. But like you said, if you play a true freshman at corner, you're going to take your licks. The cornerback, the defensive back position in football is always going to get punished innately. Like, and then especially being a young guy, you're going to have those mistakes. It just comes with it. But you want to see those guys make plays on the ball, take chances, play hard, and I think all those guys have done that. They haven't really looked timid or not been willing to get after it, and I think that's all you want to see right now in camp.
Yeah, plus I had DeJonkum on here, and he was telling me that Sifkis was basically like, what are you the best at? And then he would, like, each player would tell him, and he'd be like, okay, so now we're going to tailor your role in this defense to really maximize the strength that you have. Versus like, oh, you need to fit into the scheme. I feel like he has a way of making his scheme fit his player strength, if that makes sense.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think he's done a good job of that. I think he's tried to recruit to that to get ahead of it and see what guys can do so he can sort of fit the puzzle pieces together. I think you look at that D-line room, I think that room's going to be really deep. Like, I'm trying to figure out rotations and starters, and obviously health is wealth. Like, you got to stay healthy at all these positions. Yep. But, I mean, they really backfill that defensive line room, and they're going to have a lot of crazy combinations. It's going to be a lot of new names to learn, but I think you're going to have to see a lot of new names. I don't think it's going to be just a 4-6-guy rotation. I think they could go 8, 9, 10, 11 deep. So it's a lot of new faces up there, but I think they're going to be rotating bodies in a lot. Because I don't think that the fall-off is really where they think it's going to be. Like, they think they can go 9 deep, and you're really not losing much.
That would be phenomenal to have guys with fresh legs in the fourth quarter, or fresher legs. It's going to make that makes a difference.
Talk about obviously closing games. Like, that was the biggest thing. Yeah. With obviously, the change from Deej to bringing in Jarrett Ferguson. You, in the offseason reflection process, you look at why were we not able to close out games? And a lot of it goes back to strength and conditioning. But a lot of the times it also helps when you have another four guys who you think can uphold that standard and then come in and spell Peebles and spell APR and feel like you're still – getting that aggregate rush level. Now, obviously, you're not going to get a guy who goes gets 15 sacks probably, but if you can meet that in the aggregate and keep those guys fresher for a full four games, for a full 12 games through 14 weeks and hopefully beyond, I think that's what you have to go out and do. And I think that was something they did really targeted in the offseason through the transfer portal. They also did that to safety position. When you look in the past couple of years, you had to bring in guys with the Nazir Peoples injuries, with Jalen Stroman with targeting and his injuries. You had to play true freshman guys like Mose Phillips and then Jalen Jones in that bowl game. And then the following year, you bring in true freshman Quentin Reddish. He's leaned on to play a lot of snaps. And now you bring in, I think, a really great safety in Sheldon Robinson, but he's not having to shoulder that load all of a sudden because you got Christian Ellis, you got Isaiah Cash, you got obviously Tyson Flowers, who's been great through spring, summer, and fall. And you've got Sherrod Coble. You got all those guys ahead of him. So it's really not like you're one injury away from having to play a true freshman guy back there. I think they really built quality depth, especially along that defense. And obviously going to 105 scholarships, that's going to help. But I think they're really targeted at some of those position groups where there's some scar tissue from past years where it's, if we had one more safety, one more guy with even just 50 more collegiate snaps, just seeing a little bit more football, I think that would have been really valuable. And I think they made a real effort to do that in the portal.
That's been a Virginia Tech special for a long time. We ended up having to start, like, Ronyell Whitaker was like a freshman. He ended up being a stud, but he was a freshman playing in the national championship game. And Peter Warwick and them just went crazy. And it was like, if Lauren Johnson had one more year, like, it probably wouldn't have been, you know, like, we might have had a different conversation. The trophy case might have looked different, but it does feel like this year, how's, like, even Jordan Bass moving back to safety? Like, he was like one of the prize Virginia pupils coming back home along with Cam Seldon. Like, I saw he had a pick in the one-on-ones the other day. Like, how has he looked overall? I know he had some trouble when he came to town, and he's a little lighter than I think they want him to be. But other than that, like, how's he been playing?
I think he's getting a lot of hype, and I think it's really fair. I honestly, like, don't want to be the pessimist here. I would curb it for a year. I know he has that redshirt year available, and changing positions. Like, he's made pops, that one-on-one. He's made a lot of consistent plays. His name's come up a lot. They've been really targeted and trying to help develop him back there. Because when you cut on his Phoebus tape, I mean, it's a two-way guy. Like, he was looking to maybe come out of the portal and play wide receiver, jump to the other side of the ball. Like, just a really, really dynamic athlete. Someone who can do so many things, long, rangy. And you see that at Phoebus. I don't know how many touchdowns he had, but it's pretty amazing. I mean, that's 4A football in Virginia, but still, it's a really, really good program.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's maybe one you let it cook for a year, but I mean, you can't deny it. In camp, he's made some splash plays that we've been able to see, heard really positive reviews. But when you've got a Quentin Reddish, Tyson Flowers, Christian Ellis has made pretty good strides back there. I think you could see him maybe working in on special teams, but I just don't know how many meaningful snaps he's going to see. But I think long-term, like, that's what you wanted to build that depth. You bring in a guy and he's someone who can stay in the program. You let him simmer for a year, and then you're not relying on a true freshman if someone goes down. You have a Jordan Bass who's played college football at a different institution, at a different position, but still, he's seen live bullets before. It's a lot different than rolling out someone against Vanderbilt or South Carolina week one. If someone were to go down and you had to go put in Sheldon Robinson, it's like, all right, go lock in on Sellers, and you got Nick Harbor here, you got Russell Faison or whoever, and he's okay, figure it out. You know, it's a lot different, and especially when a guy like that's coming in over the summer. So I think it's really valuable, the depth they've built out, just in DB in general.
No, absolutely. I mean, they brought in, like, it was like a running joke online, like, how many safeties they were bringing into the program.
Because it was like, they just kept coming. It was first Coble. That was the first commitment, I think, of the entire transfer portal for Virginia Tech was Sherrod Coble. And then you go and I forget the order, Cash or Flowers or flip-flopped, and then Christian Ellis comes in late, and they're like, four of them, we just already got three. And then you see Seifkis, and obviously the three high safety looks that he worked in at the Cardinals and all the different things he does. But and then you look at that room, like, one guy goes down, and Quentin Reddish missed part of spring in a boot. So it's like you lose one of those guys, and it's like, okay, there is a reason we had to bring in four guys. Like,
right.
They're looking at it past just the fan depth chart of the two deep, you know, who the two starters are going to be. Health is wealth. I feel like I'm going to start saying that a lot here in August, but it's true.
No, it is. Would you say that the team seems healthier at this phase of spring of camp than before?
Overall, I would say previous camps, I would say the team is healthier. Now, in the past weekish, definitely got some nicks and bruises. But at this current moment, I think you got to feel at a pretty good place however many days away from game day. With where you are, I mean, you look at different programs and they're losing real pillars of the team. And in years past, I think about injuries in fall camp that have been pretty devastating. And I think overall, you got to be pretty happy with where the health is. And like I mentioned, you lost a couple guys in the spring, but just in fall camp on, you got to be pretty happy. Now, like I said, I don't want to jinx anything, knock on wood. You still have this week before you obviously start preparing for South Carolina, but I think you'll take with where you're at. I mean, once you get the pads on and you start hitting each other, you're going to have guys go out. But oh, yeah. I think they feel like they've built quality depth at different places to be a little bit more bulletproof. That linebacker position's a little worrying. Obviously, along the offensive line, that five is set behind them. It's a little worrying, I would say. And it's been like that. It's nothing new for Virginia Tech, but you got that five. But outside of those guys, you don't have as much quality depth on the offensive line, I'd say. So it's just some things like that where it's like, okay, let's make sure we roll these guys out there and get them some good pops, get them going. But also, no, we got a big game here in 14 days. So it's just that balance.
Yeah, I mean, people are probably going to clip that offensive line quote, and they're going to doomsday the hell out of it. Just
well, yeah.
But would you say it's a talent issue or an experience issue?
Along the offensive line?
Yeah.
I mean, I would just say when you bring in two high school recruits the previous cycle and three before that, and a couple of those guys have already cycled out of the program, it's hard to build quality depth when you weren't recruiting that position maybe at the caliber that should be. Now, I think Matt Moore's an incredible job bringing in three transfers, obviously then bringing in Gavin Crawford as well from West Virginia. So you sort of backfilled that in a simulated high school class, but a lot of those guys, like I said, are young, and you already missed right. A couple cycles of that. And you got Nathaniel Wright, Carter Salyer, both those guys also still coming up in the program. A guy like Aiden Lynch that they brought in two cycles ago, I think looks great. Like, I think he's made massive improvement, but he's still young in his development. And then behind them, I mean, behind that starting five, which it's going to be, like, it's been laid out there, that starting five since, honestly, really spring. You got Brody Meadows in a boot. Like, we'll see next practice availability, I'm sorry, is Wednesday. We'll see if he's rolled back out there. And then you obviously got Jaden Muskrat, Aiden Lynch, a couple of those other guys. But there's just not much proven depth behind them, like you said. So it's definitely experience. I wouldn't say talent level. Like, I think Brody Meadows, you know what he can do. You've seen him play in stints, but Aiden Lynch, I think, like, me personally, just watching him, what I think he can be as a player, I'm projecting him, like, his talent level, but where's that experience? And when you go in there and you face live bullets for the first time, it's a little bit of a sink or swim. So Jaden Muskrat, I think he has all the experience, but he's sort of that swing guy to just be somewhere where they need him in that room. So he's seen a lot of football. He's not in that five right now. We'll see where he fits in if someone gets banged up, but it's just something like that where you've got a lot of young guys trying to come up. You've got some veterans in the room as decent quality depth, but it's just, you really got to keep that five healthy, I think.
No, absolutely. And the receiver room, we've had some injuries, you know, obviously Keelan Adams, he got banged up and got hurt. He's still recovering.
Still working.
I've been hearing good. They said Cam Seldon got a little banged up, but I think he'll be back. He should be explosive.
Back. Yeah. I don't foresee that being bad. And like I said, we'll be back out there Wednesday. He should be back ready to roll. But like I said, he's someone who I think hit close to 23 on the GPS. I had an interview with Chance Wiggins actually over on Colby's Corner on my YouTube channel over the summer, and they ran high school track against each other. And he said Seldon just blew him out of the water. I think it was the 200. He said finished like a couple seconds ahead of everyone. And the 200 is pretty crazy. Maybe not a couple seconds, but still decent ways ahead of everyone. So he's got real elite track speed, obviously, with that five-star status. Everyone knows hasn't quite been able to put it together for a full season at the collegiate level. But when he's healthy and rolling, I think he's done a lot to his body. I think he's done a lot to his route tree. He looks much improved. Now, like I said, it's just getting healthy. And, did you mention some other guy? But, yeah, I think that's Seldon.
I mentioned Seldon. I was going to ask – they were talking about him, like, oh, he hasn't really – didn't really do much at Tennessee. And I'm like, well, he was a running back behind Dylan Sampson, who's projected number one starter for the Browns right now as a freshman or a rookie. Say, so,
like, I mean, when Heupel started to lean into that run, like, really rushing attack offense, you had the SEC – I think you won the SEC Offense Player of the Year, maybe not, or first-team All-SEC still. You're playing behind a Dylan Sampson. He was trying to get his work on kick return. He was doing a lot of different things over there. And that was a really that was someone they set their eyes on. Like I said, it's always a big thing in the portal, going and getting these Virginia guys, a Jordan Bass, a Cam Seldon, getting them back to Virginia Tech. That's someone they were always looking at. And yeah, I know they're very, very, very excited to get him back in maroon and orange. And like I said, I think he starts the season healthy and a really versatile gadget guy. He got that ranking for a reason. He's a really, really, really dynamic athlete and football player.
I was hoping that Chris Cole would be one of those portal guys, but from all the things I hear at Georgia, he's looking like the real deal down there. Yeah, so
I think he's going to be playing a lot down there. I think a guy also, you want to talk about South Carolina just very briefly, and I'm not going to say too much on it as like a preview episode for them, but Fred J.R. Johnson down there, another linebacker in that class from Norfolk out of Maury High School, looks like he's going to play a lot for the Gamecocks, and that's a guy from down in the 757 that obviously South Carolina won in the recruiting battle. And what's he, redshirt freshman now? It looks like he's going to be playing a lot at linebacker for the Gamecocks in Atlanta. So that'll be a name that Virginia Tech fans will definitely know from his recruitment. And it looks like, all things considered right now, he might be starting at linebacker for the Gamecocks.
I watched him play in the state title game versus Highland Springs.
Yep.
And I was like, Maury doesn't have much, but that dude, whoever that is a freak.
Yeah, and like, I mean, just body typing. If you go down to that field in that title game, you saw the Ari Watford, who's at Clemson now. You saw Fred. Kendall was a little bit lankier, but, I mean, he was big. And just if you went down in body type, you could say, okay, power four. And yeah, I mean, those guys were really, really dynamic athletes. And there's no wonder why. I mean, he's already turning heads on a defense that was really good last year and could shape up to potentially – I mean, a lot new down there, but could shape up to be a pretty good defense this year too.
No, I agree. Running back room wise for us, man, it's like nobody knows. Like, yeah. Everyone thought when we got Terrion Stewart to commit to Virginia Tech that he was certified number one, RB1. But it feels like what I'm hearing, Marcellus Hawkins is really turning heads in camp, and it's kind of like he might actually end up being the guy behind Kyron for the first snap in Atlanta.
I think that would be a decently fair assessment, and not to put a feather in the cap, but Evan, I think we were really, really, really high on Marcellus when he initially committed to Virginia Tech. We had that one pretty early compared, and then coming out of Central Missouri, we cut on his Division II tape before he committed when it was sort of going down like that. And I mean, it's obviously a completely different game, but when you cut that on and you watch it, it's like, all right, there's some tools here. Really, really great evaluation by the staff, the old recruiting staff up there. Shout out to get that guy. To find that guy when the portal, all those names are going in, that's a pretty crazy. I think he's going to really turn a lot of heads. I think Marcellus Hawkins has done a really great job. Also, someone every time you interview or talk to him, it always has the massive smile on his face. Always is just cannot be more excited to be where he is, more grateful. Obviously, someone who's seen a lot. From Central Missouri to Virginia Tech in his time, and is just very, very grateful for the experience. And somebody who's just really dynamic, can pass block, can scoot out of the backfield, can lower the shoulder, can go over the top. Obviously, the clip that went viral of him hurdling.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, just can sort of do it all. And someone who's also stayed healthy, which I think is pretty big. Got a little nicked up in spring, but now through summer and fall, stayed pretty healthy. And that might be a bigger deal with some of his competition, with Terrion Stewart being a little – getting a couple of nicks and bruises. Braden Bennett getting a little banged up. Obviously, Jeff Overton still working his way back. And then you got Jeremiah Coney and Tyler Mason, both also just kind of the steady Eddies, just cutting up. So I think it'll be very, very interesting. But, yeah, Marcellus Hawkins, he's done pretty much everything he's needed to do since he's got here and done it the right way, done it with a good attitude. And I think he's going to be a pretty good football player. And I think he could arguably have, I don't know if it's two or three years, I forget, but potentially two waiver years. I think he has one more. So we'll see however that shakes out. But yeah, definitely someone, a name to know in that running back room. I know everyone's like, oh, there's so many new players. Who's actually going to play for them? Should I even memorize this running back's name who's not going to play? I would bet on seeing number 27 out there a lot this year for the Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, has he began that process on those waivers?
I'm not exactly sure. I'm not sure where compliance ends with that, but when you look down to South Carolina and their running back situation, that's maybe something you don't want to wait too long on, because it can definitely. I mean, think about the limbo they're in right now with their running back and trying to see if he gets that extra year. So it's definitely something where I'm sure the wheels will get turning here soon. You don't want to get lost in the excitement of the season and be in that situation. So we'll see how that shakes out. But yeah, stay tuned into me, and I'll have updates on that hopefully within the year.
Yeah, man, it's going to be an interesting storyline to follow. You would think, I guess, whoever the third change of pace back guy would be. I feel like Coney's a little more like Stewart and Hawkins, or I feel like Tyler Mason maybe a little different. But then you got, you know, Braden Bennett, who we brought in from Coastal, who was an athlete down there. And then, obviously, PJ before he got hurt.
Yeah, I didn't even talk back. About PJ. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some tough decisions to make, and it's of the good kind versus the – I don't – like, who's talented enough to do this? Now it's more like, how do we get these guys on the field?
Yeah, how do we like find that top three kind of and make sure we can rotate through them? Because I think it's going to – like, you have all these names, like we said, and I don't think they're really going to go much past three. Like, I think you're going to have that top three. And now one injury and that next guy up sort of jumps into that, but it'll be very interesting to see how they build out that rotation. And yeah, we'll definitely have some updates on that within the next week. This week's going to be really, really big. Make sure to stay tuned in to vtscoop.com, because this Wednesday and Friday, like the wrap up of camp, is going to be a lot of question marks answered on different battles and things. So definitely this week's going to be a big one. If you've been out of college football, now is the best time to get back in, because you'll get all the answers you've sort of been looking for, or most of them, some of them, maybe, right. I don't know. No guarantees,
but
under promise and over deliver.
Hey man, there we are. It's interesting. Like, as long, like, if we have running backs that can move, you know, they got the ball, like they can run behind that line, it keeps Kyron from having to run. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a big difference between designed Kyron running or Kyron running because nobody's open versus Kyron having to run because his life depends on it type of deal. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to keep him on his feet versus, you know, having to take all the extra wear and tear. I know he mm-hmm. likes to put the shoulder down and just pop dudes. Like, we've seen it countless times.
Like I said, it's just you got to be smart with it. And, like, he understands that. I think the biggest thing with him is knowing when, game situation, knowing when to tuck it, when to throw it away, when. And it's just getting that feel as a quarterback. I mean, all the best quarterbacks, it's like things you can't teach, you know. It's
right.
Knowing when to roll it out, when to lower the shoulder, the game situation, the 2-minute drill, the when to get out of bounds, when, okay, I got to let this ball go, when two reads it's not there, okay, tuck it and go, or slide right, slide left. It's all those things that where it's like, as a quarterback, you have those 3 seconds or 2.5 in the pocket, and then it's like, okay, it's on you. It's on your ability and all your preparation, and then you can't think, you just have to do it. And it's really just about not thinking and just having that feel. And I'm not to say it's there, but I think this year he's not going to be thinking as much. I think it's just going to have to be that feel and sort of just be that true quarterback, because that's what it comes down to at the end of the day.
Does he seem different this year than the past three camps you've seen him in?
I would say 100%. I mean, I just think being in the media circle, I just think being in front of everything that happened last year on the field definitely shaped him just as a player, but also as a man, I would say. And I think he'd tell you the same thing. Like, when you face some real, I mean, pretty heavy adversity, like, you can't hide from it. Like, you play in front of 70,000 people and you got a million more on the internet with their ideas and things. Like, I think that definitely makes you a different person. And I think he's definitely taken it for the better. He's made lifestyle choices and obviously on the field choices and things where he's really, really locked in. Like, he understands this is his last year of eligibility. He's not running from that. And he's really excited to go out there and do it with these guys. He's made a big effort to bring the entire offense, but honestly, the entire team together. He'll always tell you, like, he likes to say, I'm not a rah-rah leader guy. Like, he says that all the time. But he's definitely made a bigger vocal impression this year. And now it's his third year in the program, a lot more comfortable. He feels like he's established himself here. But definitely seems like a different guy from a year ago. When at points last year, he didn't seem like someone you'd seen before. And you don't want to say the term, like, seeing ghosts. But that before the Miami game, there were some things where he was trying to do too much, not really feeling like himself. And then I think that Miami game was sort of the uptick. And that one obviously didn't go the way it went at the end. But then you carried that momentum into Stanford, and then you got dinged up again. And it was sort of that endless cycle. So it can take your head to places you don't always want to go. But I think he's done a really great job of bouncing back, even with the adversity in the spring. I think everything he faced in the fall sort of built him for that moment. He got those first 7 or 8 practices in the spring, dealt with the injury, got the treatment. And I don't think his mindset wavered at all from that and caught back up and just were same at the exact same speed when he came back. So I think that's a really positive thing. And I will say, my line will be that this team can go as far as Kyren Drones takes them. And that's really where it's going to be this year. And I think he's pretty confident and firm with that. I don't think he wants to not be the guy who can take this team. And I think he's ready for that moment. We'll see on August 31st, though.
Yeah, I think as long as we see an offensive line properly protect him, we're going to see a demon.
And like I said, you got to keep that 5 healthy, too.
Yeah,
you need that 5 healthy to keep upright. Healthy. Yeah, you need that 5 healthy to keep who's ever back there healthy as well.
But it also feels like Monty, and you've seen it for the most part, I guess. I know they have you guys in limited capacity this year to try to keep that competitive advantage of the mystery, the unknown. But it seems like his offense is designed to move a lot more quicker as far as getting the ball out than
Tyler Bowen. I would definitely say that. Well, you think about Bowen with a lot of slip screen, dink and dunk things. Like, he had his ways to sort of have quick developing plays, but it was very varying from game to game. You'd have some games where it was a lot of ding and dunk stuff like that, and then you'd have really long developing play stretches in different games. So it was not maybe as much consistency. I think Phillip Montgomery runs a really quarterback-friendly offense. I think he's going to, like you said, with Sifkis, work with Kyren to his strengths, not gel Kyren to something that he's done before with a different quarterback. I think he's going to work to – and that's the biggest thing. You got to have an offensive coordinator and quarterback that are on the same page. If OC calls in a play and the quarterback doesn't like the play, like, you got to be able to talk through those things and have reads that you look and be able to take the check down and work through that. Like, if you're not on the same page, it's obviously not going to operate at the highest level. And I think Montgomery, they always talk about it. Now Kyren has a quarterback guy in his ear, like Montgomery being quarterback, coaching quarterbacks. It seems like it's a lot more accessible, easy to pick up and transfer now. So we'll see. I feel like I'm saying a lot of things and I don't want to just keep saying, we'll see if it translates to wins on the field, but everyone's like, how's the team going to be this year? I'm like, genuinely, I don't know. These two new coordinators, these 50 new faces, there's so much unknown. Like, I couldn't imagine being at a place like West Virginia where they brought in like 70 or 80 new players or whatever it was. Like, it's just crazy these days. Because you used to be like, okay, shoot, we got this redshirt freshman named Michael Vick coming back. He sounded like he was pretty good on the scout team last year. Like, let's see. You know, like, it used to be you sort of knew the guys would come up in the program. Like I was talking about with the offensive line guys. You recruited 3 guys 2 years ago, and what, 2 guys have already transferred out of the program? So it's like, it's just, it's a completely different world now, where really every year it's kind of like the NFL or MLB, where it's like, last year the Orioles are a great team, this year they're selling before the deadline. It's every year you like, and it's always been like that. Like, just because what, years ago Alabama was different, but let's say like Ohio State won the national championship last year, this brand new season starts in September. You might have that ranking next to your name, but like, those wins count, and they'll count last year, but it's a completely new season. I think it's only going to be like that more and more going forward.
No, I agree. Ta'Kai Heath, big name coming out of Highland Springs, hasn't stayed healthy for the most part in his first 2 years. Have been hearing some good things about him. Is he putting his way into the 2-deep, especially the slot, based on him, or does it have more to do with maybe Cam being a little banged up or this person being a little banged up? I'm kind of wondering, like, is it situation or is it talent?
It's both. I mean, like, it's maximizing your opportunity when it falls to you, making the most of those chances, and then also making the most of it because you're a very talented player. Someone who a lot's been made on the side of his size and obviously being smaller, his first play ever at Rutgers, he goes in there, breaks his wrist. But he won that job. Like, he won that job in Rutgers as that guy behind Aiden Green, and I think he was the fifth receiver, however it worked out. Like, he won that job to be in that position. So heard a lot of really, really, really positive reviews coming out of camp. That room is super deep. But then when you talk about injuries, you talk about Seldon having to take some reps off. You talk about Chance Wiggins looking like he may be out for a little bit. Like, other guys, now granted, Ta'Kai and Wiggins aren't lining up the same position there in the slot, but someone who I think is going to be on the field, you still have Keelan Adams working his way back from injury. Like, that, they're going to be battling for reps there in the slot between those two guys. So I think he's made the most of his opportunity, and it's not a talent issue. Like, as a true freshman, he won the opportunity to take that job over Xavion Turner Bradshaw, who'd been in the program. So when you look at that, the talent's there. It's just, you got a lot of, we've talked about the running back room. We haven't even brought up Benji Gosnell. Like, you've got a lot of mouths to feed. How is Montgomery going to spread it out? But I think you will see a lot more of Tekai Heath this year in the capacity.
I think Benji's a true tight end, like ultimate safety net for a quarterback. I think he's going to get his looks regardless.
Yep, I agree.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that kid.
Benji, 100%. Someone where he's obviously very comfortable with Kyron. I don't I guess Aiden Green as well, because those two guys have been throwing for years now. But
how are his hands looking, Aiden Green? He's catching more of his passes?
Well, yeah, that was never really been an issue in practice, honestly. He's always had a what do you call it? A thrill for the exciting and crazy catches. Like, I've seen him make some of the craziest catches in practice, I feel like. And then you cut on the game tape, and on Saturdays, last year, I think he'd tell you himself, like, the drops were definitely a big issue in pretty critical moments in games. Like, the drops bug caught him, and that is what it is. All you can do is just spend a lot of hours on the Monarch. I don't know. Maybe next time I'm on here, I'll come back and see who spent the most hours on that this summer. That'd be pretty fun to see. But, I mean, like, that's someone who's really, really stepped up, I think, in a leadership role. You talk about two guys, I think, on offense and defense. Aiden Green vocally in that wide receiver room, and I think Caleb Woodson on the defensive side, both those guys have stepped up vocally. And I think Aiden Green's really, really ready. Like, in that wide receiver, when we talk about Selden, all these brand new guys, I think Aiden Green is poised to have a really big year there. And I know Donovan Green, like, all these transfers, but Aiden Green's someone who's just been patiently waiting his turn. Like, you talk about a guy like Chance Fitzgerald, he's already transferred out of the program. Like, Aiden Green has just consistently been there. And now it's like, it's sort of his show now. So we'll see how that plays out. But I'm really excited to see Aiden Green this year. So almost at number 26, but he's worth zero now.
Yeah, zero drops, baby.
There we go. You know?
Let's do it. I'm excited for AG. I haven't watched this little documentary thing he put out, but I'll probably check it out. But
yeah, that was him going back to his hometown. Oh my gosh, I'm not thinking about where it was. It's like right outside of Knoxville, I think, in Tennessee.
Yeah.
What is it? Powell. I think it's Powell, Tennessee. But it was just him going back and getting off-season work, and it's good to see those things over the summer. But I think FSU dropped a lot of off-season documentaries last year. Like, I mean, I love all that. Yeah. Like, the more content, the better. But it's just, I think a good line was like, well, it costs money to win. It costs money to lose, too. Like, everyone's getting work in. It's just the levels of work and how it comes together in the fall. So
I guess the last thing I want to touch on is the linebacker room.
Yep.
Because nobody really knows, I guess, like, what it's going to look like. But I obviously Caleb Woodson is like sharpied into that absolute stud. Do they have him at middle, or do they have him on the outside still? Like, what's it look like?
I think they have him at Mike. I'm pretty sure he's not at that will spot.
I love that. I love him at Mike, because the way the Cephas thing looks, like, the middle guy's going to have to be way more athletic and cover a lot more ground than your typical middle linebacker would.
So, yeah, that linebacker spot, you can mark me down. I know you said people are going to clip that O-line thing, which I don't think is even that crazy, like, if you look at it. But
no, it's not. We know.
But my biggest worry is probably that linebacker position. Now, I do find some solace in it, because you obviously bring in Cephas, who his previous job was a linebacker's coach for one of the best defenses in the NFL, and Pry, obviously. But, I mean, everyone likes to note how the linebacker play has been under Pry in his tenure. And obviously coming from a linebacker position. So I think it'll be really interesting to see this year. Obviously, since the hire of Cephas, you go out and you get a guy like Michael Short, Antoine Santiago from Temple as well. Those two guys, to see how they compete. Like you mentioned, you got Woodson in there, I think, pretty locked down. And then you have Keller, who had a good spring. You got Caleb Spencer.
I love Caleb Spencer. I haven't heard enough about him, to be honest. I'm surprised.
I'm honestly a little surprised too that not much has been just, I mean, obviously I contribute a lot to what comes on the board in narratives, but I'm a little surprised it's been that quiet on Caleb Spencer, because I thought he had an incredible spring, and I've heard also even more good things this fall camp outside of what I've seen. I think the transfers are really kind of the craziest thing, because when you only have 15 practices before, it's a crapshoot. Like Santiago, I've heard his frame, like that could be an NFL guy if he puts it together, just like frame-wise, tool-wise. But it's like, is that contribute this year? I don't know. Michael Schur, I think, is more of a sure thing this year to maybe play. But at the same time, Bill Belichick wasn't exactly beating down his door to stay. Like, it's just, there's a lot of different factors to bring in. You know what you're sort of getting in Woodson, Keller, and maybe Spencer. You saw some of that come on there at the end. So I think it's going to be really, really interesting, that linebacker room. And I think that's going to be a big linchpin for how successful the defense is.
It's definitely going to matter. I have a lot of faith. The Jaden Keller thing still scares me, just because I've seen it for so many years now. And I want to believe that the lies are finally going to become truth. But, dog, I don't know. Like, I hope. Like, I really just hope that this is, like, the perfect fit for him. But, I hope that they also have a short leash on it if it's not the case.
And I think that's why you go out and you get that depth. I think that's why you go out there and you get more bodies that you feel comfortable that can play. And, oh, my gosh. If we're talking about linebackers, I know this is sort of going off topic, and I'm not sure how early or what his role will be this year. If Noah Chambers stays in the program, I think that is going to be a very, very, very good football player at Virginia Tech. Noah Chambers, the DeMatha Catholic linebacker, true freshman who came in over the summer, cannot be more impressed. Early. Like I said, true freshman. Like, let's not get ahead of our keys here, but someone I think is going to be a really, really good football player.
It is kind of funny,
which is
though,
different, like, because when you talk about recruiting that linebacker position, that's been a lot of the issue, is that you've had to go to the transfer route. You haven't really brought in and developed someone truly at linebacker their entire time.
Right.
This is a guy who played linebacker at high school. You bring him in, he already looks, and that's why it's like you got to stack that position, because a lot of this comes back to recruiting. You look at tight end, you look at there's just different positions, specifically linebacker. Like, if you don't recruit the position and then there's a fall off, like, that's what it goes back to. So I think to get him in, and I'm not saying just take one linebacker class, like, there is a gap there, but I think that's a really good start right there. And if he stays in the program, I think he's someone who could be a really good player.
I mean, like, Prize's two biggest linebacker recruits, he moved to DN. So,
well, exactly. And that's what I'm saying.
Jason, like, and Brett, yeah.
But where did Jaden Keller? Jaden Keller wasn't a true linebacker either. When he get, like, it, a lot of these guys are not playing. And then you look at, because Peanut, they moved Peanut back to safety, right?
Yeah, he's always back at safety. Like a tweener.
Well, exactly. But it's like all those guys where you recruit as linebacker, like getting a true linebacker and you staying at linebacker. I think you got to go get more guys and find guys like that. So anyway, I mean, that's besides the point for this season, but yeah, it's definitely something that's been an issue, especially when you talk about a linebacker guy, a guy who's recruited linebackers at a really, really high level. So it's been a little bit puzzling, and I think that'll be a linchpin this year and see if they put it together. Cause I mean, like I said, that's the middle of the defense. That's the guy who's making all the calls. Cannot be more important. And like I said, the team's going to go as far as Kyron goes, but I think that linebacker play is going to be a really, really big early telltale sign of how far the defense can go.
I think
go ahead.
I was saying, I think, like, if the defense plays very well and we do stack some wins, and then, like, the linebacker, I feel like being able to bring in those, like, linebacker position, like winning will add to, like, I feel like Prize almost had several very talented linebacker guys. Like, even from, like, when he first came in, it just didn't happen because Tech just wasn't up enough.
Yep.
But I feel
the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
From five stars to unranked guys to who camped somewhere else and then got a big offer and jumped. Like I'm thinking that this cycle of cycles passed. Like, there's been a lot of really, really guys where you've kind of finished second, and it's like, oh. So
yeah,
it's just one of those things.
Dude that's starting at Penn State now, I can't remember his name. But it was like Prize's first year, and he got him on campus, and we almost had him. Robinson? Is that – I can't remember the kid's name. Or it wasn't Gallagher. Gallagher went to WVU, but this kid ended up – I think he's going to start at Penn State this year. But I guess my last question is, Devin Alves, is it just camp hype, or is, like, this dude legitimately going to factor into the rotation this year?
He's made waves. Like, I don't want to discredit the waves he's made, but, like, when you say factor in, there's a lot of mouths to feed. And I'm not exactly sure he's going to be making a lot of plays on Saturday, but, like, let's not discredit that. Like, when I say that, I don't want to be direct. Like he's coming, when I talk about making the most of your opportunity, that is the definition of it. Obviously faced a lot of adversity with the injury when he got there, two position changes. And now, obviously, the position change to wide receiver, really big change. It was sort of out of necessity before they brought all these bodies in. Now they go out and they get a ton of bodies, and now he's stacked behind them, some injuries ahead of him, and all he's done is make plays. So it's like, I think he's battling for third and second string, so like behind the whatever three starters. So like you could say sixth to eighth down there or somewhere in there, battling for fifth to eighth or whatever spot. Like I'm not like however, but somewhere down there. But still, like he wakes up every day and he goes out there and competes, and it doesn't matter if it's for whatever rep. Like he goes out there and gives it his all, and I think that's all you can ask for. And if you create that competition for the third string, that trickles up to second to first, and that trickles up from second guy to first guy, and that's all you want. If you create that competition level with those guys playing, and you see a starter like taking reps off, it really makes you sort of reevaluate and hopefully raise that competition level. So that's been a really good development.
No, I agree, and I hope that, you know, the mouths that get fed this year are the ones that are contributing versus the ones that you feel obligated to give the snaps to. But I feel like they learned from that.
It definitely did. And I think that was a big emphasis from last year. And I think that was sort of, you know, you got 50 fresh faces and then, look, this is the culture it's going to be in. If you don't agree with that culture, no one's guaranteed anything here. So you're going to go earn it.
Colby, man, dude, I appreciate you coming on here and running down like every position with me for camp.
Yes,
I know
sir.
People are excited. I'm excited to get back to you know, football. You know, everything else is fun, but football is the bread and butter. It's what everyone in America seems to crave. It's been an exciting offseason for men's basketball with the additions of Neo and those guys. So hopefully, you know, we had the hype last year, didn't get the expectations met. This year, there doesn't seem to be expectations. So all I can say is just win, baby. Let's just go out there, you know, punch people in the mouth, get back to, you know, show people who you are. Nobody believes in you. So believe in yourself. Like, just go out there and scrap, dude. You know, just fight and let's put some wins together. So, because I would like to keep a lot of these guys around, both players wanting to be in the program, and I want to be able to see what Matt Moore can do with when you stack wins on top of the way he recruits already. And I want to see what Sifkis can do growing in this role. And
that was, you know, a good interview.
What Monty does. Yeah.
Coach Moore. That was a good interview.
Yeah, dude. I love that dude. I was thoroughly impressed with that guy. I get it. I really do. I get it with him. I'm excited.
Yes, sir.
Colby, man, appreciate you. Everybody that listens to this, make sure you go catch Colby's Corner. He had some really good interviews this past offseason, and he's got some good scoop sidebars, and he really is the MVP of the 247 VT scoop operation. That's not a slight at anybody else. Just from what I see, this kid really comes in here, and he puts in that work. He packs his lunch, and he gets to it. So, my guy, man.
Yes,
I guess
sir.
I'll be seeing you in Atlanta probably.
See you down there. Let's go.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. And go Hokies.